It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org. You can also tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. It's Friday. It is the 11th of December. Wow, 2 weeks until Christmas. 2 weeks until Christmas. And last week we were taking votes for your favorite holiday lights around the North Texas area. Keep those coming because we'd love to hear where you like to go to see holiday lights. I got a voicemail this week from a listener who said, how about are there any small towns that are within a couple hours of driving distance that might be worth going to take in their lights? We did get the suggestion last week of Tyler for a place to go see holiday lights. So we got that one, but let us know. 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org or send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington. Starting off today, Carlos emailed us. He says, I'm a DFW resident. I would like to know if there are any organizations planning any kind of welcome events for the Syrian refugees that will be arriving in DFW. Additionally, is there any way to send care packages or letters? Give us a call, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. We got an email from Higgins, who says, several times a week, a buddy and I walk the trails along the Clear Fork of the Trinity River between South University and Bryant Irving in Fort Worth. Earlier this week, he writes, we noticed that the water level was substantially higher than we've seen it before, higher, in fact, than after the Memorial Day weekend rains. I'm curious, who or what controls the water level and why is it so high now? Well, a couple of weeks ago, we had those Thanksgiving Day rains, and here in around North Texas, people were reporting 8 and 9 inches of rain. So that rain, you know, upstream has filled the reservoirs up there. So I think the Army Corps of Engineers is having to do releases in order to keep the lakes so that they can accept more runoff, because there's always an upstream, right? Whether it's up in the air or up the hill. So those lakes have been full. But we'll see if somebody has a more cogent answer for you. I'm pretty sure it's the Army Corps of Engineers, but maybe we can get some more details on that at 800-933-5372 or email anything at kera.org or send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. David emailed and says, I'm looking for a copy of Kinwright version 10.0, Kinwrite. He says it's a program that genealogists use. It takes the data from the Latter-day Saints Church genealogy program and produces an easy-to-read report on someone's family history. It appears to be off the market, not available on eBay. Does anyone know how to get a copy of Kinwright, Kinwrite 10.0? Let's see. One more before we go to the phones. We got an email from Brian. He says, I'm trying to get information on what fees and other requirements to add my spouse's name to the home deed now that it's paid off. He says, I've called a number of title companies who refer me to real estate attorneys. I call real estate attorneys, and they're too busy to take new business or don't return my calls. Does anyone know how to do this, or if there's a real estate attorney that can handle this and that's actually taking on new business in Denton County? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington. Let's start on the phones today with Frank in Duncanville. Hey, Frank.
Oh, Jeff, how you doing?
Doing well.
Good to hear from you. I haven't been with you guys for a while. My question is this. How do we classify class? Is it based on finances, or is it based on a general property area in which we live?
You mean socioeconomic classifications, I think, is what you're asking about.
Yeah.
It's a good question, and I'm sure there's an economist or someone listening or someone who's studying that who can give us kind of maybe a 30-second version. So we'll see if we get an answer for you.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for calling. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Jimmy tweeted me, at Jeff Whittington. He says, for your question about welcoming refugees, contact IRC info at rescue.org. He says it is possible to sponsor families and people with household items. So check out IRC at rescue.org. Got a couple of other responses on this. Lori emailed us at anything@kera.org and says, Refugee Services of Texas has an office in Dallas and another in Fort Worth. They use volunteers to welcome families and help them settle in and have two orientations a month. So contact Refugee Services of Texas in either the Dallas or Fort Worth office and see if you can volunteer. And Tony in Plano emailed us also with the web address for International Rescue Committee, rescue.org. He says you can navigate from their main site to the Dallas chapter page where you can get contact information or make a donation. 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Let's talk next to, let's see here. Let's go to Matt in Garland. Hello, Matt.
Hi. About 20 years ago, I was on a little fishing boat off South Padre Island. And, you know, it was one of these recreational boats. And I pulled up a fish from the water. And the people that were working the boat took a rag and wouldn't let me touch it. They said it was poisonous. And it had barbs on its back. But what was really strange is that it had legs underneath. I'm not kidding. I mean, they didn't have feet, but clearly they were
vestigial
legs.
Vestigial legs, it sounds like.
Yeah. And so ever since then, I've wondered what that fish was, but been unable to find out, so I thought I'd call.
Okay. Well, we'll see if somebody knows. Thanks for calling, Matt.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Any fisher people out there who can answer Matt's question, give us a call, 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Mike in Plano. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing well.
First time I've called here. I have a kind of cosmological question. Mm-hmm. We all hear the expression since the beginning of time or to the edges of the universe, and I've always wondered what's beyond the beginning of time or beyond the edges of the universe.
Uh-oh, we lost you. I think you were asking what's outside the defined universe and what was before time. And really my, you know, back of the matchbook answer on this is probably not, isn't probably great. But, you know, for a long time, there's been this, the singularity, right? The Big Bang kind of event that launched the universe into motion. So everything kind of gathered back in and then exploded back out. Or everything kind of exploded out, and then I think space scientists, astrophysicists had speculated that there was sort of a rubber band kind of yo-yo motion where the universe expanded to a certain degree and then contracted back in again, all the way back in together, and then did a whole another cycle. but then I think recently there's been reports that universe expansion is accelerating. Which is interesting. So we'll see if there's a space scientist or an astrophysicist listening. There may very well be, who can give us a call at 800-933-5372. Email us anything@kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington. Let's talk next to Randy calling from Dallas. Hello, Randy.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hi. Yes, I have a question regarding voice acting in the Dallas area. I wanted to know if anybody had any suggestions regarding whether there are any like groups or unions people can check out if they're interested in voice acting. I've been a talent here in the area for a while, and I just wanted to see where other people might be going to meet up with other actors.
Great. Well, we'll see if we get some suggestions for you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. You can also tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Got an email from Scott who says, I'd like to take my son to a museum to see actual dinosaur bones. He says, I haven't been since I was much younger. Can anyone recommend the best place? I want to focus more on actual skeletons. He says, I know a lot of the new exhibits are focused more on the interactive stuff, which is fine, but I think you would love to see the real fossil bones. I live in Roanoke, so Fort Worth would be much closer than Dallas. I don't know if I would assume they have at the Fort Worth Museum of Science and Nature. I would assume they have a dinosaur exhibit there. I know the Perot Museum in Dallas has dinosaur skeletons here in downtown Dallas, but we'll see if anybody has a suggestion for Scott. I got a question from Blake, who wants to know, what is the longest point in a straight line on land on the globe? Not sure if I understand exactly what he's asking there, but we'll see if we get an answer. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Up next is Tracy calling from Fort Worth. Hello, Tracy.
Yes, I have an answer to the man who wanted to change the deed on his house to include his wife's name in it.
Yeah.
I think you can just go to the county clerk's office and fill out a form and get it notarized and pay a small fee and get it changed. I don't think you have to go to a title company or to an attorney.
Okay. Well, sounds like a good place to start.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
I would check with the county clerk, though.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Line open, 800-933-5372. And that's where we find Jason in Fort Worth. Hello, Jason.
Hello.
Hi there.
I have an answer for the gentleman who was asking about the fish caught off of South Padre.
Yeah.
That seemed to be poisonous and kind of had legs underneath. I believe that was a dogfish. I lived there a lot and did a lot of fishing, and those are indeed poisonous with the spines on the back, and it was probably a dogfish.
Very good. Mystery solved. Thanks for calling.
Sure.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Ryan and Denton emailed us and says, the Pew Research Center put out a study this past week with their definitions of what classifies as middle and upper income. This is an answer to our question about defining class. He says you can find it at pewsocialtrends.org, Pew, P-E-W, social trends, all one word, pewsocialtrends.org. And he says specifically, quote, middle income Americans are defined as adults whose annual household income is two-thirds to double the national median. So somewhere between $42,000 to $126,000 annually in 2014 dollars for a household of three. He says there's a lot more interesting and potentially worrisome information and explanatory graphics in their article around that report. So check it out online, pewsocialtrends.org. Up next on the phone at 800-933-5372, let's talk to David calling from Fort Worth. Hello, David.
Hello.
Hey there.
I have an answer for you about the dinosaur bones.
Great.
I have a membership to the Museum of Science and History in Fort Worth, take my grandchildren all the time. They have a whole room dedicated to dinosaurs with full-size skeletons, lots of things about bones, lots of interactive things with real dinosaur bones. You can even sit in a real dinosaur footprint.
Wow. Cool. Well, I had a feeling that they had a pretty good setup over there. So, David, thanks so much for calling and confirming that for us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA. Our phone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org. You can also tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Stay with us, though. More of your questions and your answers coming up in about 2 minutes. Anything you ever wanted to know on KERA, Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org, or you can send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's go back to the phones and talk next to Kevin calling from Double Oak. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, how are you doing? I wanted to chime in with the comments you were making about the rubber band universe idea. I'm not a cosmologist nor an astrophysicist, nor have I played one on TV, but these have been great personal interests to me. Two things that I wanted to mention. Number one, you are correct. The universe is expanding at an increasing rate, which itself defies a large degree of logic.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly was the idea of the rubber band. That's actually called an oscillating universe theory. And to date, there is only, scientists basically say there is only a small fraction of the total mass, matter and mass, in the universe that would be required for an oscillating universe to actually function. So as far as we know right now, there was a single cosmic event of the Big Bang, and from that point forward, we are in the reality that we're in. And there, as far as anyone knows, the best guesses right now, based on observational physics, there is no way for an oscillating universe to actually function.
All right, Kevin. Thanks so much for calling. I really, really appreciate it. And I'm sure that the conversation will continue.
Thank you so much.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Ron says dogfish. Ron has a little bit of a correction. He says dogfish, rattlesnakes, etc., are not poisonous. They are venomous. He says sumac berries, hemlock, oleander, these are poisonous. Snakes, fish, snails, etc., are considered venomous. So there's Ron's pet peeve, and appreciate that, Ron. Let's see. Tom in Flower Mound says if you're looking for bones, visit the Waco Mammoth site to see actual bones of 23 mammoths in a ravine off the Bosque River. It says the site is sponsored jointly by Baylor University and the National Park Service, the Waco Mammoth Site. I saw something about that recently. It looks really fascinating. James emailed anything at kera.org, by the way, wondering what are the colored dots for at the bottom of food and beverage packages? Little colored dots. What are those for? We got an email from Nancy who says, North Texas's largest refugee outreach is Gateway of Grace, founded and run by Samira Page, herself a former refugee. They can always use, Nancy says, volunteers, family sponsors, clothing, and household items. So if you want to help, check out Gateway of Grace. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Or you can tweet me at Jeff Whittington on the Twitter. Let's talk next to Craig calling from Lancaster. Hello, Craig.
Hey, good afternoon.
Same to you.
I was calling in response to someone emailed in about adding their wife to the deed to their property.
Yeah.
If that individual goes online and finds them a copy of a blank deed or possibly on a lawyer's website, because sometimes they provide that information on their site, or into any office supply store, I believe you can also get a blank deed. Anyways, fill it out, add the wife's name to it, go down to, for example, in Dallas County, the records building on the second floor, go to recording, pay your $26 for them to record it, and she's added to the deed.
Very good. Craig, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Right. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Sue Ellen calling from Bedford. Hello, Sue Ellen.
Hi there.
Hi there.
How are you, Jeff?
Doing well.
I've got an answer for the person who called in asking about voiceover and acting lessons.
Yeah.
And he could come to Staged. We've been around since 1981, and we're located in Dallas on Lupo. And we also are having a Christmas party on Monday night, December 14th, and he's welcome to come to that. It's at the
Great.
Contemporary Theater in Dallas from 6 to 9.
Great. Well, Sue Ellen, thanks so much for reminding us of Stage. And I know you all have classes and coaching and all kinds of things. So,
absolutely.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Bye-bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. On the Kenwright question, Harriet says Dallas Public Library has a very extensive genealogy collection and knowledgeable staff. Knowledgeable group of staff members to help you access it. Don't overlook this amazing resource. Just visit the 8th floor of the J. Eric Johnson Central Library in downtown Dallas. You know what? That's a good thing to remember Anyway, the Dallas Public Library is an amazing resource, and I think they have books, of course, which you can still check out. You can actually still check out a book and carry it around and then return it on time, or else you'll have a little bit of a late fine. But they've got that whole genealogy resource. We've done for some projects we've done here. We've done a lot of research in their city records archives that they have there. It's a fantastic resource, and I think they even have books on tape now that you can just download, audiobooks, right? They're not really on tape anymore. Digital audiobooks you can just download right off the public library website. But, Harriet, thanks for the reminder. You can do some genealogy work there and you may not need the Kinwright software. Let's see. We got a question from Dave in McKinney that I'll bet we can get answered. Dave says, I would like to know why the University of Oklahoma is referred to as OU instead of something like UO or U of O. He says, I do know the school's logo reads OU. Perhaps an alumnus knows the history of this common name of OU rather than U of O for the University of Oklahoma. 800-933-5372. Up next, let's talk to Dana calling from Arlington. Hello, Dana.
Hello.
Hi there.
I was just wondering, whatever happened to the KERA DJ, Gabrielle West?
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe somebody does. Maybe somebody listening here at the station knows, or maybe somebody listening out there. Maybe Gabrielle's listening. So we'll see if we get an answer for you.
Thanks.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. You can also tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's go next on the phone to John calling from Dallas. Hello, John.
Hello. I was calling. I had an answer to someone that had asked about what the colored dots were at the bottom of cereal boxes.
Yeah.
Well, those are actually printer's marks. They're also called registration marks. So whenever a printing process goes through, usually there's several different colors that have to be printed. Mm-hmm. So those dots are there to make sure that, A, the color mixes are correct, and that, B, all the different color screens line up correctly so you don't have overlapping colors.
So they're not just primary dots. They're actually multiple layers of dots on the same spot so that you can see that it's all working.
Yeah, some of the dots are overlaying colors to make sure that the colors are mixing properly. Other ones are just trying to make sure that the different screens are lining up correctly so you don't have colors bleeding into other parts of the screen.
Sure. Hey, John, thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Let's see. Let's get another one on this from another John. This one's over in North Richland Hills. Hey, John.
Yeah, I have to agree with John, who just answered. Those color dots are the colors in the graphics on the food labels,
right.
And it is to verify that they are correct. And that's exactly what the other fellow said.
And I guess you can see the effect of when it doesn't go right. Anytime you've ever gotten a newspaper and the color photograph is kind of all over the place and kind of blurry, I think everybody's probably seen
yes.
that. So, all right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Sure.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org, or you can tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's talk next to Lisa calling from Lavon. Hello, Lisa.
Hi. How you doing?
Doing well.
My question was, maybe there's a lawyer or legal assistant or somebody out there that can help me to know what I can do about an open-air gun range close to our house. They shoot guns all day, every day, and we moved out here so we can have some peace and quiet, and we hear these people all the time. And what I want them to do is cover it. I wonder if there's any legal way to force them to do that, or maybe designate some quiet time, just anything to keep all these guns from going off all the time.
Is it a place of business that
yes,
is the gun?
It is.
Yes, okay.
It's a place of business.
Okay. Well, we'll see if somebody has some suggestions for you.
That would be great.
All right. Thanks for calling, Lisa.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. You can, of course, send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington as well. This is from someone who says, I have a powdery substance that's growing on the brick walls of my house. My online research says it could be either mold or efflorescence. Two questions. Who to go to for how to identify this and cure it? The research says there must be moisture on the inside of the brick wall. And who to contact to find out if there is mold growing inside the walls? Would the county health department be a good source for the first question? Or is there someone else that I should contact to get this checked out? A powdery substance, a white powdery substance that's growing on the brick walls of their house. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Brandon, calling from Fort Worth. Hello, Brandon.
Hi. So I have an answer for the voice actor.
Yeah.
So there is a company called Oquatron 5000, and Funimation is in Fort Worth. They're the ones who did Dragon Ball Z and animes like that, and he can contact them.
Okay, and what's it called again?
Oquatron 5000,
okay,
or Funimation.
Okay. Hey, thanks for calling, Brandon.
No problem. Have an amazing day.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. Ryan chimes in on the OU question for the University of Oklahoma. He says UO is actually the abbreviation for University of Oregon. UO was founded in 1876, while OU was founded in 1890. And Ryan says, my guess is that since University of Oregon got there first, they got their pick of the abbreviation. So that sounds like a good guess right now. And hey, that's the answer we have so far. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's talk next to Wade in Fort Worth. Hello, Wade.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well.
I'd like to know, the lady that called earlier about the gun range, if the gun range was there before they moved in, or if they moved in and then the gun range was built before she has any ground to stand on.
Right.
And secondly, if it's not an indoor gun range or some type of cover gun range, all the gun ranges I've ever been to close at dusk. So it shouldn't be firing 24/7 like she was referring.
Right. And yeah, and I don't know that she said it was, you know, that it was at night too, but she, I think she said all day, every day, which, you know, is understandable, but you got a good point. If it was an existing business there beforehand.
Right. That's like moving next door to an airport and it's busting about plane noise.
Right. Exactly. Well, we'll see. We'll see if we get some other answers on this.
Great.
Maybe she can shoot us a note and let us know. But thanks for calling, Wade.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Same to you. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. And that's where we got this from Leonard, who says, I'm sure this is about the release of water from lakes. He says, I'm sure your attributing releases to the Army Corps of Engineers is correct as far as it goes, but I was wondering, he says, about the details. The timing and quantity of releases seems to be arbitrary. Leonard says. He says, for a period after the rains, there apparently were no releases, but the last few days, the releases have been so large there has been flooding. He says, the Campion Trail in Irving is flooded currently. Some of the lands near the gun range off Northwest Highway in Dallas near Irving are also flooded. And he asks, why would not the releases be over a longer period of time with less volume? So we'll see if we'll have to get a little bit more info from maybe somebody is listening who knows about the releases, and give us a call, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next on the phone to James in Euless. Hello, James.
Yes, please. I'd like to know why radio stations and TV stations use initials instead of names like KERA.
It's a really good question, and you know, I think it probably has to do with, we know why stations west of the Mississippi start with a K, and stations east of the Mississippi start with FCW. It was a Federal Communications Act in the early 20th century that kind of outlined those rules. I always thought that it might have to do with being able to understand, you know, over the radio. You know, there's the whole phonetic alphabet, although we don't say, you know, Kappa, Eagle, Roger, Alpha. We say K-E-R-A. So, yeah, it's a really good question and one that I don't think that we have answered specifically on the show. So we'll see if we get an answer for you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Line open 800-933-5372. All of you radio history aficionados, give us a call, 800-933-5372, or email us anything at kera.org. Nathan wants to know, what is the small white light bulb located in the upper corner of the vertical portion on stoplights? I think, Nathan, that that's probably, this is one we've had before, and I think definitively answered. As I open up the definitives folder, the anything definitives folder, which has got a lot of old emails and news stories printed out, and I want to get this right. Really, I just want to get the credit right. But there was a piece in the Dallas Morning News called A Lesson on Stoplight Doodads that I believe Steve Blow put together back when he was at the Morning News. I'll have to look at it, look for it during the break. But that little light is there so that a police officer who is out of view of the intersection can see when the light has changed. So the little white light, you know, turns on when the light that you're approaching turns red. And if you go through the intersection after that white light turns on, the police officer who's running traffic at that spot knows that you've run the red light. I'll give the credit to the Dallas Morning News writer as soon as I can dig through this during the break. You can call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Whatever you do, stay with us because we got a whole nother segment of your questions and your answers coming up. It's anything you ever wanted to know from KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Telephone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Alan emailed and says, we don't even know how the universe was at the beginning of time, much less before. The rubber band hypothesis is still a possibility. He says the acceleration of the universe is supported by measurements of the universe and is closely related to the curvature of the universe. It seems to indicate that the universe is flat, which means that the universe will stop accelerating in the future but will not start collapsing on itself. But the measurement, he says, of the parameter that governs that phenomenon is fuzzy enough not to rule out the other possibilities. He adds, furthermore, at around Planck time, the notion of time itself seems to break down, at least without a cogent theory of quantum gravity indicating otherwise. So maybe before time began, in quotes, may just refer to the beginning of the universe. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Ron says that powdery substance on the brick walls is most likely efflorescence. Mold does not typically grow on brick surfaces, though it can. He says any decent environmental lab can test samples of the material, verify its origin, and there are a number of decent labs in the DFW area. This is from Hazel, who says, I've just brought my potted plants into our covered porch, and I found that there are a few lizards on them. Should I let them stay there? Will they have enough to eat over the winter, or should I put them outside? If you know what Hazel should do with her lizards in Southlake, give us a call, 800-933-5372. Hazel, I will tell you, we had a lizard that lived in our laundry room on some houseplants for a little while. And it kept getting into the laundry. And we actually put it outside. And I think this was like over the summer. So it wasn't a question of, is this lizard going to be okay? And it kept coming back in and getting back into the laundry. And then one day we found the lizard all dried up. So there wasn't enough to eat or drink, apparently, even though our dog's water bowl was right over there. So I don't know. We'll see what the audience has to say about it. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Neil, calling from Waxahachie. Hello, Neil.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
I'm curious. I'm a driver. I'm up here every day and around the DFW area, and I've always been wondering, what is that large plume of smoke coming from DFW Airport? First time I ever saw that, I thought a plane crashed and blew up.
Yeah,
I'm assuming it's probably just the firefighting academy or something, but I've always been wondering what it was.
Your assumption is correct. We've had this question many, many times, and they're practicing. They're always practicing from what we gather and honing their skills, and we want them to be really good at it. So,
yeah, so that's what I figured.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it.
Up next, 800-933-5372 is Blake in Fort Worth. Hello, Blake. Are you there, Blake?
Hello.
Hi. Go right ahead, please.
My question is, I'll start by saying I'm considered destitute. The only caregiver for my mother who has Alzheimer's, and I need an operation, and I don't have insurance. I don't have any money, and I'm wondering if there's anybody out there who might know where I might go to get some help.
You know, you should probably, I mean, I think you should contact the folks at the talk to the folks at the county hospital. It looks like you're in Fort Worth, so over in Tarrant County. Is that the John? Here it's Parkland. Here in Dallas, the Parkland Hospital is the county hospital. And I'm suddenly drawing a blank on which hospital would be the place to talk to. There are assistance programs at the county level, and you might want to just look into that. And then we'll see what we get, you know, from the audience. We've got about 10 minutes here, and of course we'll do the show again next week.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
for your time.
Well, hopefully we'll get some suggestions for you, Blake. And hang in there, and thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay. If you have a suggestion for Blake for looking for some help with healthcare and an operation in Tarrant County, please give us a call, 800-933-5372, or email us anything at kera.org. Let's see. Brian emailed us about the outdoor gun range. And he says, the noise from an outdoor gun range falls under the legal heading of nuisance noise, odors, dust, etc. He says legal heading of, quote, nuisance, and this includes noise, odors, dust, etc. from commercial operations fall into this category. The property owner's situation depends largely on who or what was there first. If the gun range was already open and operating when the homeowners moved there, they face a problem called, quote, coming to the nuisance, end quote, which generally puts the homeowner at a disadvantage. He says the basic rule is you should have looked around before you bought your house. If the gun range opened after they bought the property, then your listener has a good nuisance complaint. If the gun range was there already, her only other hope might be any local noise ordinances, city or county, which she might be able to call on for enforcement. But it sounds as if she lives in the countryside, so there might not be any restrictions like that. It says a phone call to the county clerk's office or the sheriff's office might offer some information on local restrictions, if any. So there's an answer on that from Brian. Thanks for that. Let's see. It is the John Peter Smith Hospital in Fort Worth. That is the county hospital of Tarrant County. So, Blake, if you're still listening, you might want to talk to the folks at John Peter Smith Hospital. And thanks to Henry for emailing that and jogging my memory there. But if you have any other suggestions for Blake in Fort Worth, give us a call. 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's go back to the phone and talk to Luke in Fort Worth. Hello, Luke.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well.
Oh, good. So I wanted to touch base on the call sign issue. The use of from my understanding, the usage of call signs actually dates back to the use of telegraphs in the 19th century. So I think that they kind of adapted that use, you know, when they created extraterrestrial radio for, you know, it's just kind of a shorthand moniker for the station. Now the actual lettering conventions kind of changed over time. Initially they were three letter, combination of either three letters mm-hmm. or numbers.
Right.
But then that's obviously when, as you mentioned earlier, it was kind of codified in the law, kind of creating the current system we have, where we have W in the eastern part of the United States and K in the western part of the United States.
Except for the stations that existed before
correct.
The law, which include here in North Texas, WRR,
yep.
and which is a three-letter call letter station, WRR, and WFAA, the ABC television affiliate, which was originally a radio station.
Yeah,
when they
and
first
I believe
started.
Also WBAP as well, right?
WBAP would also fall into that category. So,
yep.
you know, and it makes
right.
perfect sense that this would stem from the telegraph time because, you know, now we know, you know you're listening to KERA because you've tuned it there and you can see the station, the channel number, and you know. But when you're, quote, listening to telegraph transmissions all along the same wire, a station, an operator, has to identify themselves, and it would seem to make sense that they would do it with a series of letters or numbers. So,
yes, sir.
It's a great answer, Luke. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. We got Carolyn says, I cannot speak for why the University of Oklahoma is called OU, but I can tell you that Ohio University, which was founded in 1804, was this country's very first OU. Well, Carolyn, thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. Let's see. Bill says, your listener who is asking about the release of water from area dams should read this Sunday's Dallas Morning News, and all his questions will be answered. This comes from someone who, you know, probably knows these things. His name is Bill Marvel, so you may have heard that name before and probably definitely read that byline. So, Bill, thanks for that preview. We'll all be looking for that. And on the medical assistance question, Pamela emailed. This is for Blake in Fort Worth who called. Pamela says he should try to contact Texas Health and Human Services and see if he qualifies for medically needy with spend down, which is a program within Medicaid. So, Blake, reach out to the Texas Health and Human Services. I'm sure there's an office in Tarrant County that you can get in touch with. And let's see, Sean emailed us and says, Gabrielle West, who used to work at KERA, is working professionally as a singer and actress here and across the country. She lives in Lancaster. And Sean says, I saw her last summer at a house concert in Dallas, and she still sounds great. So, Sean, thanks for that update, and it's great to know. 800-933-5372. Time maybe for a couple more calls here. Let's talk to Jake in Lake Dallas. Hello, Jake.
Hello.
Hi.
My question is, how are we able to, in midday, like at noon, like around now, how are we able to see both the moon and the sun, even though the opposite side of the earth is supposed to see the moon?
Hmm.
My high school teachers were never really able to explain that to me. They never really understood either.
Well, the sun's light is hitting the moon as well. So
right.
it's not as bright as it is at night because we also have the sun. So I think, you know, and it's close enough that it's reflecting light onto, you know, the area of the moon you can see is the area that's reflecting light from the sun
right.
to you. So it's just, it's a fainter moon than it is at night, but, you know, we're lined up. We can see them both.
Well, then what about the other side of the earth? Like how will they be able to see the moon even though we're able to see it? Mm-hmm. It should be night for them, right? Shouldn't they be able to see the moon?
That's a good question. Let's see if we can unpack this in the next 3 or 4 minutes. And if not, we'll hopefully have one teed up for you next week.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. It's a very good question, Jake. And, you know, I just talk into this microphone for an hour a week. So let's see. We've got time for a couple more calls, though. Let's talk to Richard calling from Rockwall. Hello, Richard.
Yes, hi.
Hey there.
So I believe I at least have a partial answer for Blake
okay.
in Fort Worth. And he mentioned he needed surgery and he's destitute. So I'm approaching this from the perspective of everybody can save money, and I wondered if he has taken advantage of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, what used to be called food stamps. And part of the role, as a lot of people don't know, is to help people save money,
right.
actually, and
right.
then there are budgeting classes and that sort of thing. And so I would actually encourage him to call the Tarrant Area Food Bank. Right. And they actually have other classes that can help, like I mentioned, like budgeting classes. And that might help free up money that he might otherwise be spending. And I don't know his situation at all, but that's part of the role of that program.
Sure. Well, I appreciate the suggestion, Richard. And it springs to mind the 211 option, too. You know, you can call 211 and get information on assistance programs. So we'll...
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
You bet.
Now, let's see. Let's talk to Charles calling from Fort Worth. Hey, Charles.
Hey, about the gentleman who's calling about the health care and he's needing a surgery now.
Yeah.
Number one, JPS, John Peter Smith, is the county hospital in Fort Worth, but they do also offer programs for low-income families and those who are needing aid in for medical bills and stuff of that nature.
Great. Hey, thanks for calling, Charles.
Thank you. Have a good blessed day.
Oh, you too. And let's see. Let's talk to Sheila on this same question, also in Fort Worth. Hey, Sheila.
Yes, at JPS, he should start with eligibility first.
Okay.
That way you can get classified and start from that point.
So it sounds like John Peter Smith Hospital is the place to go for this. They're going to be able to help him at least figure out, ascertain what it is he is qualified for and how they can best help him.
That's correct.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Let's see. We got a couple more emails in. This is from Donna, who says, for your voice actor, looking for work, although I thought maybe he was looking for a community of voice actors. But Donna says, try Funimation in Flower Mound. They redub anime into English and probably looking for folks. And let's see, this is from Connie and Clay, who says, the Sam Noble Museum, once called the Sam Noble Science and History Museum, on the OU campus in Norman, Oklahoma, has a wonderful exhibit on dinosaurs and has a life-sized mammoth in their gallery where receptions are held. And let's see, Connie says, Connie and Clay say, we were married at the museum. So it sounds like they know. Thanks so much for that. And let's get one more on this from Susanna in Dallas. Hey, Susanna, we got about 20 seconds.
Hey, I love your show. Just wanted to tell
thanks.
You about the dinosaur. I know it's not bones, but Glen Rose has the phenomenal dinosaur state park, Dinosaur Valley, and they have actual dinosaur footprints. And he might want to consider calling ahead to ask the rangers if the water is too high or if it's either able to actually see the footprints in the ground. But it's not that far from Dallas, and it's an excellent place to take kids that are interested in dinosaurs.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know, produced by Stephen Becker, engineered by Shelley Canavy. Fiona Norton answers your phone calls, and Christine McConnell produces the podcast, which you can find at kera.org/anything. There's a subscription link there. You can listen to the last 10 shows absolutely free of charge. And reach out to us via email at anything@kera.org. You can send us your questions and answers, comments and suggestions, or find me on Twitter at Jeff Whittington on the Twitter. Thank you so much for listening and for writing and calling in. And everybody, have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you next week.